Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stand. Manchester United 2, Crystal Palace 1, in the greatest performance we've seen from Manchester United probably since the 1999 season. It was fantastic, it was dominant, and if they don't give Carrick a contract, they're absolutely stupid. I'm being sarcastic. But look, the reason I do that is there are two ways of approaching this game. You can go result, performance questionable, we move on. Or you can just go result, ignore performance, everything's great. And I think that ultimately the league table tells the story. We're 6 points ahead of Chelsea. And if Arsenal beat them, we're 6 points ahead of Chelsea. That's considerable. And I look at the Champions League, and that is really where my focus is at the moment. Anyway, welcome back to the United Stand. This is the final score show. Well, the match has finished 2-1 to Manchester United. And thank you very much to Ball Sports for powering today's show. And don't forget, they've got a special offer at the moment. If you're new to Ball Sports and bet £10, then you get £40 in free bets. Go to the Ball Sports website or app. Details are in the description and via the QR code, which is on the screen. 18 plus only. UK and Ireland customers. Full terms are on screen. The title says it all for me. Bruno Fernandes. I understand it when he was in the midfield. And I said when he was in the midfield, maybe you sell him. But when he's playing as a number 10, the guy is world-class. I mean, I don't know what the definition of world-class is to some people, but world-class isn't just running past five players and putting it in the top corner. The pass into Cunha, whether it's a dive, whether it's soft, whatever, I'll talk about that in a minute. But the pass is so well weighted that Henderson can't come for it, the defender can't get it, and Cunha can run onto it. The cross into Sesko is immaculate. And those two, and the penalty itself, those two things win us a game where we've probably got away with it. You know, I look at the comments at half time. People were losing it. What's Carrick doing, giving them so much time off? There's no energy. There's no chemistry. What's the style of play? This is bloody awful. We fell off. And then you win the game 2-1 and it's like, well, you weren't wrong what you were saying at half time. There's just a guy called Bruno Fernandes in the team that can win you a game. And I don't think performance-wise from Man United, it was very good. But I thought Bruno Fernandes was world-class. And you have to celebrate that. And in the fan forum, I hope Ricky does give the praise to Bruno, because he wouldn't be sat there with a smile on his face if it wasn't because of Bruno. The reason we are third in the league, the reason we could be 6 points clear of sixth, is because of Bruno Fernandes. This guy changes games even when you're not playing well. We can't afford to lose him in the summer. Where would we be without Bruno? I've seen people say it before, where, you know, would we be relegated without Bruno? That was different seasons. I think in relation to this year, you simply wouldn't be in a Champions League position if it wasn't for Bruno. Now, whether I'd give him 400 grand a week, like someone in the live chat just said there, I don't know about that. But I look at that game today and I think, honestly, we were dire. We were up until the red card, we were dire. And then you're playing against 10 men, but even against 10 men, we only won 2-1. I thought 35 minutes against 10 men they played on Thursday, this will go 4 or 5-1. It was only 2-1. The penalty and then a wonderful cross into Sesko wins us the game. Even against 10 men, we've not created chance after chance after chance after chance. So even against 10 men, it's still Bruno that's provided that moment for us to win the game. So look, I thought we were poor. I thought Dalot was terrible. Luke Shaw before the injury was awful. Mazraoui did well when he came on. Maguire was good. Casemiro and Mainu, again, third game in a row, very lackluster. Bruno, superb. Cunha, again, just produces something. Sesko, the goal again. And Mbeumo, a little bit mixed. But there was a lot of bad performances and there were some really good performances as well. But I can't move away from Bruno this season. Since he's gone into that number 10 position, whether we play well or not, he just has that ability to make things happen. And I just don't know. I don't know where we would have been without him today. I thought he was incredible today. And, you know, look, I'll get a load of criticism anyway, because when Man United win and I'm subjective, apparently I'm a Forest fan. Yet at half time, yeah, if we'd lost that game, everybody would have been saying, what the fuck are the coaches doing? Why are they letting them have time off? Why have we got no energy? Why have we got no intensity? And I would say that. I think stylistically, we're a bit confusing at the moment. I don't know what the style of play is. And, you know, people can have a problem with that if they want. But when Amrin was here, we constantly heard about the system and the style of play, but it wasn't. They had a problem with the back three. Now we're playing a back four under Carrick. No one talks about the style of play. What is the style of play? Are we going down the wing and putting crosses in? Are we playing possession football? Are we playing quick transitional football? Are we trying to get in behind? I don't really know what we're trying to do. I know what Bruno did to change the game. He tried to slip in Cunha in a one-on-one and it changed the game. But that was one moment in the game. Where's the energy gone? I thought we were quite an intense team against Arsenal and Man City in his first two games. We were really intense. We were really quick. We were pressing really well. Since the Arsenal game, we've completely and utterly lost the ability to press and be intense. And we seem to have lost the rhythm to pass as well. I think against Arsenal and Man City, we were doing little 5-10. I remember people were clipping it up. We were doing these little one-touch passes. We've stopped doing that as well. So I don't have the answer to that. Maybe it's a blip. I don't know. But I don't know why we've stopped being intense, why we've stopped moving the ball around quickly in little passing movements. I mean, to be fair, it doesn't help when Luke Shaw and Delo can't even play the first pass. So maybe you can't get the passing moving going if people can't pass. But fundamentally, we've won the game and it's 6 wins out of 7 and 1 draw. So look, it's very, very good. We've got 2 games coming up against Newcastle and Villa where, look, maybe we will not play well and win. And if we do, great. But they will be good challenges. On the red card, look, I watch a lot of football. I'm about to watch Chelsea play Arsenal. I watch a lot of football and I say a lot of things. Last night, I watched Leeds against Man City and I did a video about how bad VAR and the PGMOL are not to give that handball. So, Cunha is without blame. Cunha is without blame. He's a Man United player and he's been very, very clever. However, at that time, that just felt wrong. It felt wrong to get a penalty and a red card for that. It looked really soft. Technically, Howard Webb's going to cover the referee off and go, he puts his arm on him. It's the last man. I understand it. But if that had happened at the other end, one, I would have said the foul started outside the box. Two, I would have said their strike has gone down way too easy. And three, I would have said it seems a bit fucking harsh to get a penalty and a red card for that. So I did feel it was a bit soft. I can obviously say that from a position of strength because we won the game and that history's not going to change it. If we'd lost the game 1-0, I might have been sat here going, he should have been sent off and it should have been a penalty. So look, I probably am sitting here being a little bit fairer than I would be if it hadn't happened, but it changed the game. It changed the game. And I think that's the most important takeaway for me. Up until that point, I think we were really struggling to get a result out of this game. After that point, I think it allows us to get a result out of the game. So it changed the game. And I think that's what I would say about it. The most important thing for me is that when you look at that league table now, Manchester United, top of the table, no. Third in the league, yes. I can't remember the last time we were third in the league. People say, well, Villa were 10 points ahead of us a month ago. Yeah, but Villa are dropping like a stone. Like, that's what happens when you don't pick up points. This is what happens when, you know, against Everton, you don't play particularly well, but you keep a clean sheet and you score a goal. This is what happens when at West Ham, you get a last minute equaliser. This is what happens when at home to Palace, when you're not playing well, Bruno lifts you up and creates moments that allow you to get 3 points. We've won games they haven't. I think if Villa had Bruno Fernandes, maybe they'd be higher up the league. This is what I'm trying to say. I think we pay a lot of money for Bruno and he delivers. And yet we still get this nonsense about reducing the wage bill. Reduce the wage bill. I mean, they did it this week. Oh, look at the money we're saving. Look at the profit we've made. Yeah, from sacking people, from reducing the wage bill. And yet here we are on another weekend going, Bruno Fernandes has been the player that's won us the game and we pay him 300 grand a week. And this is my point. This is why, you know, when I say it in the week, some people like don't get it. You get what you pay for. We're paying 300 grand a week. That's not cheap for Bruno Fernandes. And look at where he's putting us in the league. But Sir Jim Radcliffe, he wants to keep the wage bill down. And some of us are saying, I ain't celebrating the wage bill coming down. We need more people like Bruno Fernandes. If we didn't have Bruno, we wouldn't be third in the league. That's why you pay him. Look, don't give 300 grand a week to Mason Mount. He never plays. Bruno Fernandes, give him 300 grand a week. There might be another player out there in Europe that we want to give 300 grand a week to at some point because they're worth their weight in gold. What about Carrick and the job, Mark? Well, I think there was a brilliant super chat on the watch along, which I would abide with. And I'm going to nick it. Basically, giving Michael Carrick the job is like going on a couple of dates and asking him to marry you. You might have had two really great dates, but I think there's a lot more to learn. And even if you go on the third date and it's not as good, that's not a reason not to marry him. I just think it's way too soon. And there are warnings. I'd say with Carrick, now is not the time to say give him the job. And now is not the time to say, no, don't give him the job. We just got to keep learning. The problem is society today, they're swipers. They're swipers. It's yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. Not many people have learned patience. And I think we need patience. I think we just got to take our time on it. It's as simple as that. I think if you're hanging, if you're giving Carrick the job because he's failed, he's not lost the game yet, I would say shit against West Ham, shit against Everton, shit today, 7 points from nine. All right, 7 points from nine, but are we going to ignore the performances? How long do you think that's going to last? How long do you think playing like that is going to last? It'll get us Champions League football this year, but what'll happen next year playing like that? I think we need to see a development of style of play, because if we don't, it's almost the flip side of Amorim. There was no style of play and the results weren't very good. So you're panicking. With Carrick, not really a style of play, but the results are good. But is it sustainable? I think there is no yes or no at the moment. I think there is only let's wait and see. Look, I don't know. Maybe some people tonight will be going, give him the job, give him the job. After watching the game for 90 minutes, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think there's nothing from before the game. I don't feel anything different from before the game to after the game. There's nothing about that game that would make me think, yeah, give him the job. That's how I'd be. I think we've been here before with Ollie, says Kaz. Delo doesn't even try anymore. Every game his passes are getting worse, says Nick. Last time we were third place was 2023, says Gavin. And that's an achievement and it should be celebrated. I hate how Liverpool has a cupcake March schedule, says Mazraoui. Could you please wish my brother Zach a happy birthday, says Lewis. He turns 15 today and watches United stand every day. Happy birthday to Lewis. And thank you, everybody, for supporting our Baller League team. We're going to be in Baller League. The Gold Devils will be in Baller League. We've announced it today. Loads of people have followed the Instagram account already. So thank you very much for that. And happy birthday to Zach. Give Carrick contracts and cycle repeats, says Oz. Last time we were third was 2023. I've done that one. Did Bruno get his 100 goals and assists for United? Only the third player in history. Well, he must have done Ankit. I just don't know which one it was. I think Dorgu was a big help in City and Arsenal, says Lumen. I don't think it can just be Dorgu. I think there's been a drop off in energy big time. Thank you very much for that. Play like that in our next five games. We're getting battered. No dynamism, no hunger. So reliant on Bruno, says YG. Bruno's different class. He deserves a statue, says Chad. You had me there. Had to make sure I was watching the right video for a second, says Doug. Look, player ratings is going to be live probably around 7:30. I'm doing Chelsea against Arsenal at 4:30. And we've got the fan forum. I just haven't got time to do the player ratings. So we'll do the player ratings a little bit later live. So you can do your, you can vote for your player ratings. I'll pin it in the live chat and in the video description of this video for you to do that and get on with it for our live show. Carrick's job is just managing games, but the club should want to hear his strategy and plan for the future, says Clem. Results are great, but performance matters. Liverpool won 5 straight at the start of the season and fell off a cliff. Yoro, Mark, I like what you're doing and love those reactions. You're funny, says Kellen. Look, in relation to Lenny Yoro, he's a young player. He made some mistakes. He's going to be a good player. Let's not jump on his back like we did with Dorgu and then look stupid when he starts playing well. So there we go. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe, as always. Join me on That's Football. But more importantly, tune into the fan forum because Ricky needs to start giving Bruno his flowers. How can he say that Luke Shaw's a better player than Bruno Fernandes when Luke Shaw plays absolutely shit, has to get subbed off because he's injured again, and Bruno Fernandes wins us the game? There's no comparison. Absolutely no comparison at all. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Get yourself over to the fan forum and make sure your mate Ricky give Bruno some flowers. I want you seeing the live chat. Thanks, everyone, for watching. I'll speak to you in a bit.